swing cash. I call her swing cash. Swing cash. I call her swing cash.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Welcome to She's Got Time. I am super excited. I'm your host, your girl, Swing Cash, and this is episode 9. So we have a fun packed show for y'all today, and anytime we have a guest, you know we go a little bit longer. I usually like to keep it to 30 minutes, but when you have somebody that is so knowledgeable and has ability to share so much with you all, I want to make sure we get everything we can out of the interview. So make sure you stay tuned. So later on in the podcast, we have a special interview for you. So this episode is called Family Business. Now, before we get started, you know, I always like to thank you from the top for joining us. I never take you for granted. It's a humbling experience, and I'm so honored that you spend your time with us. Now, we always like to start with the week that was, our rewind. So it was really funny because I had a very, very busy week, not just with work, but it just seemed like I was on a lot of flights, which I was. But in between that, as most of you have already heard, the team that I actually retired with and have been working with for the last few years in New York Liberty were sold to new ownership. So kind of navigating through that, congratulations to the team, the organization. Thank you to MSG for owning for 20 plus years the New York Liberty, but now they are under new ownership and excited for the WNBA season to come. So congratulations to everyone involved with that, and onward. Next, I had an opportunity to attend a very, very powerful event. If you haven't heard, there is a new alliance that's out. It's called Reform Alliance that is spearheaded by Meek Mill, board members, Jay-Z, Clara Wu-Tsai, Robert Kraft, and a number of other people, along with their named CEO, Van Jones. And so they have poured $50 million into this fund to be able to help with prison reform. And I gained a lot more knowledge going to this press event, had an opportunity to mingle with some of the people that were there. And it was exciting to see the diversity in the room because people really want to have prison reform and they want to help a lot of people that keep getting caught in the system in the cracks. So that was a very powerful event for me to attend. And also, lastly, the new show. So had an opportunity to be down in Atlanta and the debut of The Bounce, which you can download Yahoo Sports app and watch The Bounce every Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday from 8 to 11 p.m. All NBA. It's a fun show. I'm happy to be a part of it. I was able to debut it with Stephanie Redding and also, you know, GP, Gary Payton's always a lot of fun. So that's what I was doing for the last week, and it was unbelievably busy, but at the same time, so fulfilling. And I know you all like to ask me questions about Saint. He is doing great, getting big, talking a little bit more. I'm in the process right now as a mom figuring out what works best for him, whether it's flashcards, whether it's trying to get toys and different things as we're trying to get to the letters and to the numbers. And so that's the process that I'm going through right now. So if you have any tips, please send them my way. I've already put it out on Twitter, but at the same time on IG. You know, you can always DM us. You can catch us on all social media platforms at She's Got Time. You can also email us at swinggottime@gmail.com. Now, make sure you're liking our fan pages and you're also subscribing on that YouTube channel, but also make sure you're sending us the messages. Comment down below and make sure you're telling us what you like about the show, any questions you may have. Of course, I see everything and I'm going to make sure that I get back to you all. So, as we move along, next up, we have our great interview. I had the opportunity to go into the city, into Manhattan, and join our next guest at the office. Check it out. Hey, y'all. Welcome to She's Got Time. I'm your host, Swing Cash. I'm excited to have our guest on the show this week on the podcast. Are you excited?
I am excited.
You really don't need any introductions, but I'm going to introduce you anyway.
Okay.
Okay. So we have Charlie Jeter with us. And if you don't know, she is the sister, but also a boss lady of Derek Jeter. She right now currently is the president for the Turn 2 Foundation, also vice president of strategy and development for Derek's whole portfolio, which means you pretty much have your hand in a little bit of everything, correct?
Exactly.
Now, before we go on, Charlie, just tell everybody kind of not so much how you got here, but did you ever envision yourself when you were younger and going off to college, having a bigger brother that was you know, playing for the Yankees, winning world championships. What was kind of your career path at that age?
So I started out thinking that I was going to play college softball, and one day at that point there would be professional softball when I graduated college. I made a different choice when I went off to school. I went to Spelman College in Atlanta that did not have a softball team, so I decided not to play anymore. But that was what I originally thought of, maybe being a pediatrician, too much school for me. and then I said I wanted to go something into business. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know exactly what that was. And so when I went out to Spelman, I started out as a sociology major because my father is a social worker by trade. And then I said, you know, this isn't for me. I don't know what I really am into. I love math. So I changed my major to be a math major and said, I'm going to do something in business with a math degree. Black female can get a lot of different jobs,
a lot of
opportunities, and it was very rare. So I did that just hoping that everything would fall into place. I had been added to our board of directors of the Turn 2 Foundation, which I run now, when I was 18, and I was a volunteer when I was younger. So I always loved working with the foundation and giving back and helping these young people that we serve in New York, Florida, and Michigan, where me and Derek grew up. And to make a long story short, I just said, you know what, why am I searching everywhere else when there's something that I could do that would really fulfill me every single day, and also I'd be able to be close to my family. So
was that difficult for you to think about it? Because a lot of times, and I know having even younger siblings, if you have an older sibling that's in the spotlight, that's creating kind of their own path, you want to almost create your own. And so it's difficult at times working with family, especially if in your same field. Did you and Derek have any issues early on, or like a challenge that you had to get over kind of working together?
Well, I think a lot of the challenges that I had to get over were prior to me working for Derek. And that was, you know, he was drafted when I was seventh, eighth grade. And, you know, I had a tough time going through high school. And that's why one of the reasons why I said I wasn't going to play softball anymore, because I was tired of all the comparisons and everybody saying, you know, just every single thing I did was compared to Derek. And so I realized once I got off to school that I missed softball and that I loved softball, that I grew up playing just as long as he played baseball, and that I would never let that happen again. If I had a dream or something I wanted to do, then I was going to pursue it, regardless of what people said. But we've always been a really close-knit family, especially when I went off to college. That's when me and Derek became the closest, because he was gone for my high school years. But when I went off to college and was away from home for the first time and homesick, Derek had just went through all of that when he went down to play for the Yankees. So we talked 3-4 times a day. So we had really become the best of friends when I went off to college. So working with my family, we were so used to always being so intertwined in our lives, whether we wanted to be or not, that it wasn't that difficult to do. But there are always challenges when you're working with family. There's, you know, I can sit in a business meeting and my dad or my brother give me a dirty look and I have tears in my eyes. And this is years ago, because that look was like the look of death in our family. It was like they were disappointed. So when they would shoot that across the table in a business meeting, it was like, you know, you'd have to separate and learn how to separate, you know, the feelings and all your emotions. So that was probably the biggest thing I had to kind of get through.
Any kind of keys that you would give some of our listeners who are in business, in corporate, entrepreneurs, or thinking about going into business with family members? Any key learnings that you had that you would say, this is what you probably should look at doing, or strategy, some way to set up communication to separate the family from the business?
Yeah, so there's two sides of that. Strategy that we used as a family, which worked, and I've heard other successful families have done the same thing, is that each one of us had to define our roles. When the roles start to overlap, that's when it starts to get a little difficult. So we had defined roles, and we had to you know, make a pact and agree that we weren't going to step into each other's lanes. You know, we do have to cross over in certain things, but if I was given certain roles and responsibilities and it was my decision, you know, to make, then I wouldn't find out later on down the road that my mom made a decision for me. And, you know, there was a lot of learning curves. And, you know, I reported to my father for many, you know, I still
How
do.
Was that?
it's great because my dad's a counselor by trade. Mm-hmm. So he kind
so
of
he's
knew
very diplomatic,
how to. Yeah. And I think he got better over the years because early on it was like, you know, he'd raise his voice like I was in trouble. But, and then reporting to Derek was difficult, you know, but now it's become easier because you start to figure out this is what I'm capable of doing. I've earned my spot here. And I think that's what the one thing I would say for people that are deciding to work with family is, you know, a lot of families work together and a right. lot of friends work together. The one thing that we all could say individually is that we were qualified to be in the position. Mm-hmm. So there was nothing handed to me. I've worked in every single position in our foundation. So all of our staff that we have, I've been in their role with their job title. So that's when I think it starts to get difficult is if you're put into a role that really you're not qualified to be put into. Right. And then, you know, there's resentment and things don't go as they're supposed to go. So I think we are our toughest critics. And, you know, we just really make sure that we're fully qualified and prepared to do something that Derek has asked us to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think with everything that's kind of happening now, you see 2019 and you keep hearing from last year to this year, we have the most women that have been elected to Congress. Mm-hmm. We're starting to see more women in leadership positions.
Yep.
As you, as a female, an African-American female in a leadership role, how important is it for you when you're going through the hiring process to make sure that you're trying to have as much inclusion, diversity as possible within the business and the foundation?
Well, it's a key priority for us. I mean, that's something, I mean, I graduated from Spelman. So, I mean, we've been trained this way and we go off ready to take on the world and bring our sisters along with us into the workforce because that was the one thing that is most important. And I say it in every one of my talks that I do is that the biggest piece of advice I have for anybody is when they get to that position, make sure they reach back and bring somebody else with them that looks like them, that has the same qualifications as them, was in the same situation as them. Always look back and try to bring somebody along with you. In our office, it's important to me to have a very diverse staff. And that's not only just because it's right, but also because we have a group of young people that have a very diverse background. So I need them to have role models within our office that look like them, that they can relate to. And so all of our kids have somebody they could look to within our office.
Now that's very important. And I don't want to make you blush here because I know you're very humble. But also with the foundation, I was reading up on things and there is a scholarship in your name that goes directly to HBCUs. And I think that's important. My husband and I talk about this all the time because he's a big supporter as well, making sure that we need to give back, people need to give back to HBCUs. Mm-hmm. Why was that important to make sure the foundation would have a scholarship like that?
You know, I think that we have, I say that my experience going off to Spelman, my father was a graduate of Fisk University, mm-hmm. And I'm a daddy's girl. And when Derek was playing in the playoffs in Atlanta, he's like, you have to go check out Spelman. I had just heard the current president at the time speak in Kalamazoo where I lived at the time. And I was so just in awe of how she spoke about these women that were at Spelman. And so I said, my dad's like, you have to go check it out. At least we're going to be there. And the minute I stepped foot on that campus, it was like, I'm going here.
Wow.
And it was just this feeling and watching the girls walk around. I'm going, this is where I want to be. And when I got off to school, I learned so many things that were outside of the classroom. I learned a lot about, you know, loving ourselves and our background and where we came from and just knowing our history, like just knowing everything about our history. It just changed me as an individual. And we were on a campus where everybody was, it wasn't okay to skip class. Like you could skip class, but the girl next to you is looking at you like you're nuts, like yes. that. And so it was very competitive in that way, where it was a bunch of women not competing against each other, but it was more of like the sister who would have been disappointed in you. You know, like, we're all on the same team here. We've got to do this together. So, I mean, I was just, I learned so much that it was important to me to make sure that other young kids of color go and at least explore and have the opportunity to attend other HBCUs.
And that's one of the things I love about you, is that not only did you experience, and like you said, you've worked in every kind of, everything that touches the business or the foundation, but you're also giving back. And that means a lot, whether it's to HBCU, whether it's kids here in New York, from the Bronx to Brooklyn, it doesn't matter. I think having women of color be in that position who are making those key decisions is so important. So I love the business side. Thank you for sharing. But let's move on to your book and writing a book. Yeah. All right. We have to get to that, because trust me, I understand what goes into writing a book. And let's just, first of all, give them the name of the book, The Stuff. And you wrote this in collaboration, right, with Dr. Samson Davis. What made you, one, say, you know what, I want to write a book? And two, what's this book going to be about? Because sometimes people say, okay, it's a memoir, I want to write a novel. Mm-hmm. But when you're writing a personal, inspirational book, there has to be something in you that says, it's my time to do it.
Well, I wish it was that glamorous of a story.
Come on, Shawna, give me
it
something.
It wasn't. No, I will. I'll give you the real story. Okay. Is that Dr. Davis has written, I don't know how many books, four books. I believe they're all bestsellers. At least three out of four of them are. And is an inspirational speaker. And that's how I met him. I had him come speak to our kids. And when I ended up hiring him after the first time he spoke to my leadership group to come talk at all three of our baseball clinics in all three areas. And we were coming back from Tampa on a flight, and he's telling me, this is one of every flight we were on, there was some new idea, brilliant idea that he had. Just hear it out. Let me just lay it out. And I'm sitting there trying to get work done on the flight. I'm like, okay, Sam, you know, let me know what you want, what you're thinking. So he starts to talk about this book idea. And I was so, like, I had put everything down and he had me. Like, I was like, this is a great idea. He had this idea of studying people who had overcome amazing obstacles. And it didn't completely crush them. And it could be medical. It could have been, you know, mental health issues, alcoholism, you know, a lot of different stories. A woman had lost, you know, her business, completely lost everything and bounced back. And he was talking to me about this, and I'm going, this is amazing. But he was talking about it in the sense of, like, you know, the Magic Johnson story, right? So, you know, Magic sat in the camera when he was diagnosed with AIDS, and there was no cure. And he stood right in the camera and, like, said, I'm going to beat this. And you believed him. Yeah. Like, you thought he was nuts, but you actually believed him.
Yes.
And so that was what really excited him. And he said, you know, I want to see if there's a common gene between all of these people. And then I was done. I was like, well, there you go. Please don't make me read that. I want nothing to do with that book. It's medical. Like, why would you have something so huge, and it's not really, I'm sure there are medical things you could, but why wouldn't you do something that's just easy? And why take out the celebrities? Like, people don't relate to that. Like, Magic has money. Like, he can go to the doctors overseas. He can have access to different things, but go find that everyday Magic Johnson, that everyday person. See, we can relate to that. Everyone can relate to that. And so he looks at me and goes, well, if you have all the great ideas, then why don't you write this book with me? And I was like, no. No, but then I was kind of like, because I said to him, I said, you know, when you go and do this, if you do decide to do everyday people, can I come and just make your sandwiches, like, be the road manager? And, like, I just want to hear these people talk and meet them, because they would be amazing people to meet. And that's how it morphed. Like, he then said, well, why don't you just do this?
Well, I think you're also selling yourself short, because once you all pick up the book that you have to get, it is out now and you can pick it up. It's called The Stuff, Unlocking the Power to Overcome Challenges. You overcame a significant challenge, a medical scare that you had in college, and how you fought that as a fighter and now to be a survivor. Can you just briefly tell kind of our audience what happened to you and what decision you made that your family kind of was looking at you like, yeah, you a little crazy.
Yeah.
But that's the type of gene he was looking for, is like, do other people have that same gene to help you?
Yeah. So, and that's how he convinced me to do it, because I wanted to know what was that thing that I had within me that he was talking about. So when I went, when I was in college, I was in my senior year, about to start my last semester of school. And it was a couple days before my 21st birthday. I fell off the bed during the playoffs watching Derek on TV and woke up in the middle of the night and had a huge lump in the side of my neck and didn't know what it was, and went to the school doctors. They said it was possibly a pulled muscle, and handed over like muscle relaxers or something. And anyway, so I decided, when I went to the doctors, one of the trainers told me to go to the doctor. When I got a biopsy, I found out I had Hodgkin's lymphoma, that I was going to have to do 6 months of chemotherapy treatments. And we decided that Sloan Kettering in New York was the best place to get that done. So I convinced my doctor to kind of talk my parents into allowing me to stay in school, because I didn't want to leave my friends. I didn't want to move back home. Allow me to commute back and forth from Atlanta to New York every other Thursday night to do treatments on Friday and then go right back. And
wow,
it wasn't the easiest thing to convince them of. And now I understand. I feel bad what I put my parents through, because they were probably worried sick, but I needed that, and I did it. And I did find my teachers were all very supportive. The school was supportive, and I did it in 6 months and finished up and was able to graduate with the rest of my class.
That's awesome. Well, Charlie, I have to now kind of switch it to the mommy side, because we're both mommies.
Yes.
And it's so funny, because I was in my girl chat and I was talking to my girlfriends and I was letting them know I was going to be doing this interview with you. And one of my girlfriends follows you, and she asked me the question. She said, can you ask her what it's like being in having like a young boy? She has a young boy as well, a single mom, still like passionate about your career and trying to balance that all. And I said, that's a perfect question, and I'm gonna make sure to ask them.
You know, I have a strong village. I mean, I have a very supportive family. His father is very involved in his life. So I say I'm a single mom. I live with Jalen by myself, but his father is very instrumental in raising him. My parents have been so supportive and have been there from day one. So, and Derek, and, you know, a lot of friends and family around to help. And we have a caretaker who helps me, a babysitter that's been just amazing and treats him like her own. So, I mean, I like to take all the credit, but I do have a really good support system. And, you know, I think the biggest thing for me was a lot of people feel as though, and there's nothing wrong with deciding, if you're in the position, deciding to stay at home with your kid. I would kill my kid if I stayed at home with him.
No, stop. He's so sweet.
Jalen would literally have lost his life, like, by now. He would not be here, or I'd be in jail. One of the two, or both. But I'm someone who, I have to have work, and I have to have that me time in order to be a good mother. And I know that about myself, you know. So for me, work was important, and I feel like people have to know what it is that puts them in their best space. Like, do you need work? I need work. Like, I need to come in, separate myself, and have a purpose outside of home in order to be in a great mood when I go home and excited about, you know, that. But I mean, the tough thing about that is separating, because I work for family.
Yeah.
So we don't separate. We can sit down at Thanksgiving dinner and we're going to have, oh, just, you know, my dad has this famous thing where he was like, we're not talking work, but I did, you know, I do got to run one thing. And you hear my mom go, oh,
one thing,
like she gets, so, I mean, you know, it, for me, it was the separation thing, and, and not too much separation, but getting past that guilt feeling that, you know, it's okay to leave. It's okay to go to work every day. It's okay when I have to take a business trip and he has to be at home for two nights with his babysitter, which he probably prefers, you know, because, you know, she says yes to everything. But that for me, especially when he was very young, I think he was 1 month old, I went, to go to a conference with our kid. You know, mm-hmm. I'm still fresh out of C-section, and you know, we're a month old, and we were going to a conference just because, and my parents were there, of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't go anywhere, but that's just me. Like I have to be able to do a lot of different things to be able to focus, but he is my number one focus. So everything that I do, I'm thinking about him. When I'm working with my kids here, I'm thinking about, this is going to be Jalen in a few years. Like, we have to make sure that we're fixing things now. You know, he's going to be coming up, and these are his role models. Like, right. You know, how do we mold these kids to be kids that I want him emulating, mm-hmm. you know? So that's probably, I don't really know the best answer, because I just do it, and I do it as it comes. And I know that I don't do it perfectly, but that's okay.
You know, I appreciate you, just your honesty, because the reality is that I think so many women, not only do they have their own guilt they're dealing with, you go on social media and everybody's portraying one thing that it's mm-hmm. not. I mean, a lot of people are saying they have it all figured out, and they don't. There's some right. people who are going through depression and won't talk about it. There's some people that have mommy guilt, and then they're guilting other people. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate you sharing the fact that, yeah, I have family support. His dad is there. Mm-hmm. You know, I have support around me as well. Mm-hmm. Like, women need to hear that. Like, no, yeah. we don't always have it all together. There's things that we have in place that help us yeah. continue the career we have, or to make sure that our kid is well-rounded and has everything that they need. Mm-hmm. So I do appreciate you sharing that.
And I will say this too, just quickly, is that my kid doesn't get to bed on time every night. There are some nights where I'm just like, on the weekends, he's supposed to have a shower every night, and I'm like, Jay, you didn't even go outside today. Let's just throw on the jammies and go to bed. Like, it is what it is. Right. It's life. Like, and I don't beat myself up for it. And, you know, there's times when my mom reminds me that it's parent teacher conferences next week. Like, I saw the school calendar. That's the joy of retirement life. Like, she's all up in the calendar. But if I didn't have that, I feel bad for a minute, but then it's like, oh yeah, I guess I didn't put this in my calendar. Oops, let me schedule to get in there to talk to the teacher. Like, that happens, and it's okay. But I don't think people notice it until it's the mother who does it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, dads have been doing this for years, yes. right? Like, where they, oh, I'm catching a flight, I'll be home, you know, in a few nights, figure it out. Like, that's, and that's okay. And luckily, I've been raised in a household where my mom has worked, and my dad has gotten us off the school bus, and vice versa. Like, you know, we just had a situation where we, you know, all got out and did whatever we were passionate about doing.
I love it. So before we get out of here, Shelby, I have to ask you, you came into the business and you learned at 18. Mm-hmm. You've had an opportunity to grow, and now you're running everything. What would you say to your younger self, that young girl who aspirations of playing softball at the highest level, made a different decision, weren't able to do it, but now what would you be saying to her?
Know that I have qualities and things that I bring to the table that Derek may not have. Those mm-hmm. might not be his strengths. And that is something that's going to be needed and just as important in his life and the development of his career and his successes as what he brings to the table. So mm-hmm. I think when I was younger, I felt, you know, well, I'm not as good at something as he is, which a lot of people aren't, right? And mm-hmm. I had to get that out of my head. I was comparing myself to the level that he was on. And I think knowing now that there are certain things that, especially when I went through my battle with cancer, that Derek said to me, if that would have been me, I would have been at home with mom and dad. Mm-hmm. So he saw something in me that I was like, oh, wow, that's something that he doesn't have that I have. So I kind of wish I would have known that sooner. I think it would have stopped me from running into a lot of walls when I was younger, and maybe gotten some places a little bit quicker, but it is what it is.
Well, his timing is always the right timing. You're exactly where you're supposed to be right now. Yeah. So thank you so much for joining us on She's Got Time. Is there anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
No, I think I'm good. You covered everything.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good. Well, thank you for sharing your story. I appreciate it. And I know that there are going to be some listeners that are going to be inspired. They're also going to go out and get your book, The Stuff. Yeah. And they're going to make sure they continue to support the Turn to Foundation. And you also can find Charlie on social media on IG. She may accept you, I don't know, but you can go to S Jeter 2, and that's on IG, right?
Yep.
Twitter.
And that's really, yeah, you really. I think it's all the same. Yeah. It kind of goes over. IG girl, so S. Cheater.
She's
too.
An IG girl.
But before we go, I do have to say one thing. Swin okay. has not telling everybody that she's been a huge supporter of us and our foundation.
I love
many,
all
many
the work
years.
You do.
So we thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, we'll see you guys next time.
What a fun interview that was for me. A lot of times we get an opportunity to interview people that not only we admire, but that has so much to give. And I was really happy that Charlie was able to join us. She is very busy. Trust me, you heard from the interview. She is out there and constantly on the move and a mom. But I thought that interviewing her would be something special for you all as we continue to bring more women and diversity to our podcast to share all of their knowledge with all of you. Now, next up, we have our take a seat, take a bow, or level up and straighten your crown. Of course, it will be our take a seat until this whole government shutdown is done. This past week, over the last couple of days, there has been some bills that were brought to the floor. And of course, all of the people that voted no, not to open up the government, you need to take a seat because it is unbelievable how much this is hurting not only our economy, but the people, over 800,000 federal workers who are missing their second paycheck. So everybody that's involved with this whole government shutdown, you need to take a seat. And matter of fact, have several of them. Okay, yeah, thanks. And our take a bow for this week has to go to everyone down in Atlanta, from the NBA to Yahoo Sports to everyone at Turner Sports that made the debut of The Bounce. It's really fun to be a part of a show that's kind of groundbreaking, and you're looking at how people are viewing and streaming online. So everyone that was involved with the launch of The Bounce, go ahead and take a bow. It was an excellent show, and I can't wait to see how the rest of the season goes. And lastly, my level up and straighten your crown goes out to each and every woman that was out there over the weekend marching for the Women's March, not just in New York, but all across the country and also around the world. Everyone that came out with their daughters and sons and even husbands, wives, whatever it was, you stood up and took your place right on the podium and let everyone know we are here, we are women, we are powerful, and we are fighting for the future. So I appreciate each and every one of you. I had to work, so I wasn't able to be out there, but how amazing was it to see just the sea of support for women? In today's day and age, we need that. So level up, ladies, straighten your crown. Hey, y'all, before we get out of here, gotta leave you with the positive note. You know, I love this part of our show because it's good to make sure that we're leaving you with some positive inspiration, right? Well, this week I was able to find on social media Beyonce's former stylist who I like to follow, Ty. And if you want to follow him on IG, it's Ty Try One on Instagram. And he posted something that really hit home with me. He said, "Stop talking yourself out of opportunities because you don't feel like you're ready yet. It's time. You're ready now." And that made so much sense to me because a lot of times, ladies, we will think that we need more education. We need more training. We need more learning. Sometimes you just got to jump right into the fire. You are ready. Your time is now. Own it. Go for that promotion. Take an advance. Step out on faith. Step out on your own will and ability to get it done. Because what you don't know, you'll figure out a way to know as much as possible, have better resources around you. And your time is now. Own that. All right, we love you so much. Make sure you're following us on all social media platforms at She's Got Time. Also emailing us, of course, swinggottime@gmail.com. As always, appreciate you. See you next time. Peace. Swing cash. They call her Swing Cash.
Swing cash. I call her Swing Cash.